If you were able to have a bulletin, you would find inserted in that bulletin a outline of today's message, and it's got some blanks that you can fill in there that as we go along, you remember more. If it not only passes through your ears and your lips, but through your fingertips. So if you can, if you take notes as you go, it'll help you to remember. I want to invite you to stay after the service for Fifth Sunday dinner. I know some of you forgot all about it. I know at least a couple that forgot all about it. But you don't have to bring anything to eat. I'm going to prove that to you today. So we'd like for you to stay and have lunch with us. And we'll have some good fellowship time. And we want you to come on Tuesday night. We're going to have some good fellowship time there. What we are doing is offering our children an alternative to trick-or-treating. They can come here and it'll be safe. Not only will it be safe, it'll be warm. And you can come and have a good time and have some fellowship and be a part of that. Saturday morning, Chuck Stroll's family will be celebrating his homegoing. And that'll be at Smith Family Funeral Home in Green Forest for a memorial service. And that starts at 10 o'clock. And then, Miss Lee, you keep me corrected here if I'm wrong, but we're going to feed that family at 12:30. That's correct? Okay, Miss Lee, she may be calling you to help out with that, and I know you'll graciously accept that time, and we'll be feeding the family here at the church at 12:30. So you be praying for them, keep them lifted up. I just think about this disease that taken Brother Chuck's mind. Now he's thinking clearly, and he's doing things clearly, moving about better than any of us are. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter. The book of Matthew, the 11th chapter. This is a great invitation. You see, the Lord is sending that invitation out to us, inviting us to be a part of His life, to surrender ourselves into Him and allow Him to guide our steps, put Him in the driver's seat, let Him be in charge of our life in such a way that it changes everything in our life. So let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word, Matthew 11. Now I'm going to read these three verses, and then we're going to jump back a little ways and see what the Lord said right before He gave this invitation. Now this is Jesus doing the speaking. Matthew 11:28. Come. That word ought to, we can understand that, can't we? If I said to you, come, you'd know it meant to come. Even my dog knows come most of the time. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now we're going to be talking about that. But if there's anyone here not in that category, you're very fortunate. Because most of us know what it's like to have a burden and to be heavy laden. Matter of fact, I think that as we examine these verses, we're going to discover that he's really talking about religious ritual. Burdened down with religious ritual. I think that it encompasses a lot of other stuff too, but especially it takes that in. And I want you to notice who is making the offer here. And I, Jesus said, will give you rest. Now, he's not talking about laying down on the bed. I can do that. He's talking about something that's much deeper than going to sleep. This is a rest for your soul. A rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a passage. Father, we thank you and praise you that you've given us this wonderful promise. God, I pray that you'd speak through me today, that you might use me, that I would be hid behind the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want us to skip back just a couple of verses, and I want to give you the context of the text, what is taking place here. In order to fully understand what Jesus is saying, we have to see where he is coming from with the offer that he's getting ready to make to us. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee. What's he doing? He is praying. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast... Now, watch this. Do you see what's going on? Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. So in order for this promise to work for you and to work for me, I've got to qualify. And what is my qualification here? I have to become a baby. Now how is that? Because in a baby's life, a baby is totally dependent on other people for everything in his life. Have you ever seen a baby get up and start changing its own diaper or saying, well, we've got to get breakfast ready here, and you just see some kind of little old toddler running around or crawling on the floor and saying, I'm going to fix breakfast, I'm going to take care of everybody. No, it's someone else has to take care of them. Every detail of their life. Feed them and clothe them and take care of them. You have to become a baby in order to qualify for this offer. In other words, education will not do it. Your background is not going to do it. Your experience is not going to do it. It doesn't matter how smart you think you are. That's not going to do it. That's not going to take care of your needs if you're burdened and heavy laden. You can't find it in the textbook. You can't find it in money. You can't find it in a job. Listen to me. You can't find it in a relationship. Except in the relationship with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine this? Jesus said, I'm glad you hid it from those who think they're smart. I'm glad you hid it from those who think that they are smart. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal it. And my prayer for you and for me today is that the Lord will reveal this truth to us today, and we'll get out of the driver's seat and turn the driving over to the Lord. That we will give Him master and king of our life, control of all that we are and all that we do. When we get up, go down to the job on Monday morning, that it's His job, not our job. When we're dealing with our family, it's His family, not our family. And that we're surrendering that to Him. We're surrendering that child that we can't do anything with to the Lord. We're surrendering that relationship that we cannot mend on our own to the Lord. It's up to Him. We're giving it into His hands. We are giving that sickness that we do not have any kind of control over into the hands of the Lord. Lord, it's all Yours. It was to start with. Growing old, getting older, your plumbing quits working. Not only that, but your mind. An author begins to take over. Well, here's the invitation. 28 through 30. First of all, he says, come unto me in verse 28. So what does he mean here? Well, first of all, come to Jesus as Savior. What is he saying when he's saying, come to me as Savior, come to me for the answer? Quit relying on yourself and other people and the bank account and all these other things, but you come to me as Savior, the Savior of your soul. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he's talking about rest for your soul. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and anyone that hears my voice and answers that call, answers that door, I will come in, sup with him, and he with me. Now, I understand the theology of that verse well enough to know that he's talking about in the last days, that in the church, Jesus is going to be on the outside knocking on the door. But I understand that there is also another theology to that verse that means that Jesus is continually standing outside your heart's door, and he is knocking on your heart's door, and he wants in, and he wants to change your life. He wants to be Lord of your life. Someone said he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. So who may come? Let's look at some of these verses. Will you look at them with me? Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Excuse me, Revelation. How did that come out? Revelation 22. That's right next to the back, isn't it? The last book in the New Testament, Revelation 22. Look down at verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Okay, now here it is. Here's the qualification. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You qualify? We had a speaker Tuesday night at the associational meeting, and he talked about a ship being torpedoed and sunk in the ocean, and there was 900 men that had survived the first blow of the attack. But the ocean took care of about 600 more of them. And he had all of the details of what had taken place and the name of the ship. And he said that what killed about 300 of the sailors was they had no water. And they could not keep them from drinking the ocean water. They were so thirsty. And I'll tell you what, he described that in such vivid detail. I was dying for a drink before he got through. I wanted a drink of water so bad I couldn't hardly stand it. They wanted a drink. They were thirsty. And they were drinking the seawater, and the seawater was killing them. They were drinking that was killing them. And the illustration was that America today is drinking the seawater. We're drinking that. We're thirsty, and it looks like it would cure our thirst, but it will not cure our thirst. I learned just this week about a ship that left Philadelphia's harbor loaded with several ton of toxic waste to be dumped. But after they got out in the ocean, they couldn't find any place to get rid of the waste. And for 2 years, this ship wandered the ocean from harbor to harbor, trying to find a place to unload their load. And no one would let them into their harbor. The only thing they would let them do is refuel. And for 2 years, they wandered with all this waste on them. You know what's taking place in many people's lives today? They're coming to church just to get refueled. But they're going away with all the load still on them, without giving that to Jesus, without unloading on Jesus, when he says, you can unload it on me. I'm inviting you to unload that burden on me. Anyone that's thirsty, whosoever will, the thirsty, and whosoever. Look with me at Romans, the 10th chapter. Acts, Romans. Romans 10, look at verse 13. Here it is again. For whosoever. Are you a whosoever? I tell you, it's good news to discover that you're a whosoever. And if you're here today, you're a whosoever. It's whoever. It's whoever. When I read this to people and I'm trying to explain the gospel to them, I'll always ask the question, do you know what a whosoever is? And it always thrills my heart whenever when the lights come on and they say, well, that's me. Yeah, that's you. That's you. Whosoever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at John 6. Matter of fact, I think that this was the text that our speaker spoke from Tuesday night. John 6, look at verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I want us to look just for a little time at the character of the one that is giving the invitation. If you look at 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, cast all your care upon him because he careth for you. Now think about that. That load that you're carrying, that you cannot, you're just weighted down. But when you cast it upon the Lord, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. In Hebrews 4 and verse 15, the Bible says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." What does that mean? What is the feelings of our infirmities? Back in years gone by, the hospital was called an infirmary. Matter of fact, I think the military still call them the infirmary. It's the feelings of your weaknesses, your sicknesses, that you cannot handle, that weights you down. Jesus' very character is the character of compassion. Look at Mark, the first chapter. This is one of my favorite passages. Mark 1, and look down at verse 40. "And there came a leper to him." Now, we don't know much about leprosy in the land in which you and I live in, but there are places that know lots about leprosy. And in Jesus' day, it was the most dreaded disease of all. You would not be allowed to stay with your family. You couldn't be in society. You would have to go and live in a leper colony by yourself, with the other lepers that were there. But away from your family, away from everything that you loved, away from your children. Max Lucado gives a vivid picture of this passage in one of his books as he talks about the father sitting off somewhere on a hillside and watching his children play and longing to be able to go to them and to embrace them and seeing his wife and wishing that he could speak to her and embrace her and be back with his family like he had always been. But because of the leprosy, he could not be. And so in this passage, we see the great compassion of our Lord. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean." Boy, he had hold of it, didn't he? Do you and I understand that? Do we understand that Jesus is the answer to our need? No, really. Do we understand that Jesus is the answer to our need? That past that we cannot seem to get away from that haunts us, the sin that haunts us, that the devil is able to just keep bringing up, could we come to a place in our life to understand that Jesus is the answer? That He is the answer to all of life's questions? That dissatisfaction that we have in life, that Jesus is the answer to that? That we keep seeking in other places and we cannot find rest? That Jesus is the answer to that? Verse 41, "And Jesus, moved with compassion, he put forth his hand, and he touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean." No one would touch a leper. No one would embrace a leper. You've spent all this time in leprosy and you've seen your body deteriorate through that disease. And the first one that's been able to touch you is Jesus Himself. Actually, this word touch here in the New Testament is the strongest word for touch that we have. He didn't do that. It's as fish scales overlap one another. What does that remind you of? If it's the touch, the way fish scales touch one another on a fish. He embraced him. He took him in his arms. He touched him in a way that only Jesus can touch you. I will. You be clean. You get that picture in your mind? I can see it, can't you? Oh, for Jesus to touch us today in that kind of way. And that's what he wants to do. I will be thou clean. I don't care what's happened in your past. I don't care what's in your future. I don't care what's going on right now. Jesus said, I will be thou clean. And he takes us in his arms and he gives us rest. This word, heavy laden, means to load up or to overburden, mostly with ceremony, with spiritual anxiety. I just can't seem to do it all. I can't seem to stay on the wagon. And Jesus said, let me take care of that. Verse 29, he's talking about rest for our souls. Well, when you and I work, we're looking forward to that time when we can rest. But here, Jesus is speaking of a rest while we labor. You get that? He's speaking of a rest while we're laboring. Because we're laboring in Him. We're doing that work in Him, and we rest while we labor. When the storm comes, the eagle rides on the wind of the storm. I'll lift you up on eagle's wings. The eagle rides on the storm, and so when the storm comes in the Christian's life, he's to just ride on the storm. You can see farther. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16 says, ask for the old paths. Where's the good way? Where is that? Where is that path where I can rest while I walk? A good path. Jesus said, I'm it. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Thomas said, now, Lord, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the way. I'm the path. I'm the way. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The learn of me means to understand. When two oxen were yoked together, they would many times in training the younger ox, they would yoke it with an old experienced ox. And so the younger ox would learn to handle the burden as the older ox taught him how. Eldon Walker was breaking one of my horses to work, and we talked on the phone, and I said, well, how's old buddy coming along? Well, he said he threw a little fit and got turned upside down, but he said I tied his tail to the other horse and he didn't do that again. The younger ox was taught by working with the older ox what he was supposed to do. Now, this is what Jesus is saying. If you yoke up with me, I'm going to teach you. You yoke up with me. Because he said, I'm not going to hurt you. My yoke, what's that next word? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you rest while you labor if you're yoked up with Jesus. Our problem is that we get yoked up with ourselves. We think that we have all the answers. Instead of yoking up with Jesus. You know what else he said? I'm meek and lowly. I'm meek and lowly. Meek is a term that the Bible uses for a horse that's broke. You know what that means? It's power under control. That Jesus has all the answers for our life. I want to ask you something. How foolish would it be for you to continue to carry that load that you're carrying when you know that Jesus wants to take that? Just doesn't make sense, does it? I've got to take care of this myself. No. Jesus said, if you'll turn it over to me, I'll take care of it. Let's stand together.